Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Punaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Chaitanya Upanayanam, then getting from the D in drama into Dharma Shastra, but we're in Natya Shastra. Okay. Chapter 24, harmonious representation, samanya bhinava, binaya. Okay. What is the meaning in using the word bhartrika in swadina bhartrika? In all scriptures concerning literary ornaments, ancient or recent, the word bhartari is used to mean both husband and unmarried lover. For instance, in Rasa Manjari, the following is found. Iyam parakiya swadina bhartrikaiti iyam veshya swadina bhartrika. She is a parakiya swadina bhartrika. She is a swadina, prostitute. There are many other examples as well. Thus, it has a broad usage as in saying all respects to the devatas, to indicate all the devatas to be worshipped, including male and female forms. This was explained before in relation to the word term pati. Uncultured women say to their servants, you should bring that person who is in my house, called my bharta, who does not know enjoyment of my youth, form, beauty, and skills. He is my bharta, my pati, my swami. They also use the word arya putra, a word for husband to be used by the wife to indicate the secondary hero when he is not present. Text 91. So the point being that the bhartri means that yesterday, then there was the anxiety about this word being used. And so I was pointing out is it's used by everyone, but that it means both. Because when you're dealing with the aspect of the lover aspect, the technical points of affection and how it's expressed and all that follows the same rules. Same rasa, same anubhavas, same santris, it's the same. Just one is legal and one's not, that's all. You know, it's just like if you put something in your pocket, is the mechanics different than if you own it or you don't? Right? You know, if you own it, you put it in your pocket one way, and if you don't, you put it in, you know, sideways or something. Or no, it's the same. Mechanics are always the same. So therefore, in this, because you're dealing with rasa, it's the same. You don't have to, you don't need to change it. Right? But, so the standard usage would be husband. Because that's what would be applied. But we see it also applies to paramour, because it's the same thing. Otherwise, if it wasn't the same, then what would be the problem? Right? All these things, nice things, and rasa is all is going on between husband and wife. And then the wife and the paramour is something else. You know, they're playing dominoes or something, or chess. You know, something like that. You know, so it's you know. Yes.
Also in the normal Vedic lifestyle also we see this aspect from the time when one is engaged till the time one is married. Though they are actually already engaged, they are not yet husband and wife. That is the time in general people have their maximum, like, no, they cannot meet because it's still not legal, but they are already having that affection and it's the whole thing going on. They only remember whole life, but after that it's not.
Yeah. Okay. 91. An example. Krishna is now living happily in Mathura with great enjoyment. But for me, springtime brings pain at every step and from every direction. My enemy, the impossible hope that perhaps he may return, has become a great obstacle in fulfilling my desire to kill myself. Where can I find shelter from this enemy? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Radha speaks to Lalita. Since he enjoys there, why will he come here? Abhishta means death. Pratyuham means obstacle. 92. 8. Keeping her lover under control. She who keeps her lover close by and under her control is called the Svadina Bhartarika. She has pastimes in the water and forest and picks flowers. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Swayatna means Svadina. She whose lover remains close by, Asanna, under her control, is the Svadina Bhartarika. Text 93. An example. He happily paints incomparable designs on her full breasts and places blue lotuses which attract the bees by their scent in her two ears. In her braid, he playfully places a delicate lotus. Krishna constantly pleases Radha without disturbance. Srila Jiva Goswami. This statement can be explained as a pastime after he returned to Raja many years later, since he killed Keshi just before he went to Mathura. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vrinda speaks to Purnamasi. That's they're discussing this point. If Krishna cannot give up his lover for even a moment, because he is controlled by her prema, the Svadhina Bhartrika is called Madhavi. The Svadhina Bhartrika, Vasa Sajja, and Abhisharika, being happy, are always decorated with ornaments. The other five in lamentation are without ornaments, have their hand on their left cheek, and are afflicted with anxiety. Right? So the one going out, the one preparing the place, and the one who has the lover under control. These three are always happy and nicely decorated. End of the description of eight types of heroines from Ujjwala Nilamani. Vriti. Next, the behavior of man towards women and the propriety of what has to be enacted before an audience consisting of various age groups and close relatives is elaborated. Yeah. Because you have the age groups, so sometimes it's not always considered as you have relatives. Like that. You know, because you're performing on stage, and then because you're performing, then family members want to come and see also. Oh, what are they doing? And then, you know, so what's appropriate? Otherwise, it gets a little weird. Verses 144 to 238. Etiquette towards women according to their nature. Women, according to their different nature, have different habits. After knowing their spirits, one should approach a woman accordingly. For courteous acts done to a woman according to her nature, even if these are not many, will be pleasing to her, while great many acts, when they are done with an ignorance of her nature, will not satisfy her at all. Mm-hmm. An external love will arise in a woman when she has been flattered and won over in a proper manner. And certain etiquette, upachara, has been prescribed for man and woman in love with each other. Austerity is a practice for the sake of virtue, and acquisition of virtue is for the purpose of happiness. And happiness has its source in women, the enjoyment of whose company is desired by people in general. Two classes of etiquette. In the theatrical convention, etiquette relating to the practice of love of men and women is of two kinds, external and internal. Of these two, the internal etiquette is to be observed by kings in the Nataka, and the external etiquette is to be observed by courtesans in the Prakarana. Footnote 26, Riti. Internal etiquette, or dealings of king with his wives, can be seen in the dealings of Lord Krishna with the queens of Dwarka, and external etiquette, or dealings of expert gallant with courtesans or women expert in the art of conjugal affairs, can be seen in dealings of Lord Krishna with the gopis of Vrindavan. Vriti. The rest of this chapter deals with the internal etiquette, dealings with the kings with his wives. and other high-born women only. The next chapter elaborates on the external etiquette, which involves dealings of an expert gallant with the courtesans. The king's etiquette towards women. In this connection, I shall describe in detail the rules of etiquette for kings in their enjoyment of women's love, which has been drawn out from the science of erotics. Women are of three classes. Homely, abhyantara, public, bahya, and mixed. Bahya, abhyantara. A woman belonging to a high family is a homely, abhyantara, and a courtesan, a public, bahya woman. A thoroughly tested krita saucha woman, if she is a maiden of high family, is of the mixed bahya abhyantara class. What is it? What is this krita saucha?
I think it's explained next.
It's coming up. A lady or a maiden may become subject to a king's attention in his harem, but enjoying the company of a public woman is not desirable in connection with the king's love affair. A king's union takes place with a homely woman. Homely here means homely being that they stay in the home, they stay inside the residence, or inside the environment of what is considered home, right? So that's what it means, because otherwise, yeah, because homely can also mean not very good looking. I think it's that they're trying to just say, oh, she just stays in the home, something like that, but it doesn't have that. But here they're meaning, that she's someone who functions in the house. Yes. Then there's going to be those who function outside the house. Yes. In other words, the feminine graces will be expressed in the house, not outside. But for the courtesan, it's expressed outside the house. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the difference. And then they're saying then the mixed.
The mixed is the one who may be considered as like open, but she's of very high quality nature.
Generally, but she'll be inside. She'll be the assistants of the queen and this and that.
Generally, it refers to the heavenly courtesans or or somebody like ministers or somebody's person who's seen outside, but she never interacts with people outside.
Yes, yes.
Because of their level, they are seen outside.
Yeah. Okay.
In the definition, more or less in the material world, everybody is more or less a public woman.
A lot of them are pretty public, like that. it means that just they'll interact with their husband, closely in that when they're in the home and all that. Then that would be the standard. So basically what you're saying is you're taking public women and they happen to be living in homes. I mean, that's if they're not trained, that's what you'll get. You still get those who are properly trained.
Because here I speak mainly of homely women for king, wife of king, so it's not...
No, but it would also be, means this is in the drama, it would be like this, because you're common also because they live in a smaller, smoking like that. Anybody who's known, they may joke and laugh and all that. Common people do that, but it's not technically what should be done. But whatever they're doing, so then you end up there mixed, actually, because that they're. So you're going to say it's probably, you're going to. It's rare you're going to have the homely woman. Then most are going to be that we would call proper women will be mixed, and then you're going to have the bahia, the outside, like that. But it's just a matter of, because that's for the common people, then, you see how they sit and they talk and they joke, and when they go to parties, you're always joking with someone else's wife and things like that. And that's the thing. But it's like flirting. You say things and it's attractive and it creates, interest. But that's what he says, it creates external interest. An external love will arise in a woman when she's been flattered and won over in a proper manner. But it's external. Doesn't mean it's developed internally. It just means she is, as a woman, she's impressed with how you're dealing, like that. So that will then you have to be careful there. But it's the etiquette that it never turns into anything. You joke all you want, but nothing ever happens. As soon as the party's over, you go home with your partners, and that's the last of it. Nothing continues. Yes.
Another reason why it is called external in this context is because the courtesans, no matter how much, like, you know, so-called love is expressed internally, they are never committed to one person, unless he's a king. That then it will come in this mixed class, and then she's committed. Otherwise, that, like, that keep on changing men, so it's never actually internalized, the relationship.
Okay, so that's why I said external before. Yeah, because with the king, because the courtesans are trying to get the best benefits. So whoever they can get the benefit from, they'll move with that one. So they may be with this minister, and then after some months, you're with another minister. As they learn that this minister is going down, then they'll move to the other minister. They're smart. They know how to keep this. So if you get to the king, you don't have to go any farther than that. So then you can be more, because you want to keep that relationship. And a common man may unite with a quote-unquote public woman, while the king may have union with a heavenly courtesan only. Right, so he won't be dealt with public women.
Yes.
Right, so they're not going to be involved there. So then the heavenly means that she's the apsaras and all that, because they don't have these kind of rules. Like here, humans, they have these rules. And the heavenly planets, they don't have these rules. Right, so they can be with whoever they want to be with. But at the same time, as you see, is they're together. It means that some of them are married and all that, but they're still courtesans. So it's just, it's you know, they're working on a different platform. And so that kind of a thing you may see. You know, and if that works, then it's there. Like you see, what was it, the Puravas and Urvasi. So she's a heavenly courtesan. Like that, and then he has a relationship there, and that works nicely. You don't have any problem with it. If he has there, you're not going to complain. But if it's a common, you know, how you say, public girl, then you'll complain. Oh, he's the king. Why is this? You know, the character and all that. So you expect the higher up they go, they don't have these things. Right? But if they're very high level, then it's not conceived as a bad thing. May not be ideal, but you know, no one's going to complain.
In fact, the descendants of Pururava, when they go to heavenly planet, they identify, oh, we come in that line, Urvasi is like, no, our relative only, like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's still pride.
Yeah. The manner of lovemaking, which is approved in case of married women of high family, will hold good in case of maidens too. And in love affairs, a courtesan too will behave generally like a lady of high family. Yes, generally. I mean, some of the interactions, you know, like that may be not very subtle.
Yes.
But otherwise, the personal interaction based on this kind on the conjugal affection, that's always going to be the same. The mechanics are the same. Beginning of love. Love of the superior, the middling, or the inferior kind arises in men and women from various causes. Love for a person grows from hearing about one and hearing the charming conversation, seeing the personal beauty, or the sportive movements of limbs. Right, because we see is that, okay, charming conversation, right? That was the madhurya aspect, right? Seeing the personal beauty, also of that sportive movements, that's the enthusiasm, the energy, right? But it's also in this, it's very straightforward, it's not complicated, so it'll have that simplicity. So these three things are required. A woman becomes overpowered with love on seeing a young man who has personal beauty as well as other innate qualities and has, besides, the knowledge of various arts and crafts. An expert in this manner should then observe the various indications of love in men and women who desire one another's company. Because right, if they know arts, like if you have a guy who just is good looking, but no brain and no skills and all that, in the beginning, well, they see, but once they start to talk, then they lose interest. Because there has to be intelligence. There must be cleverness. You know? They have to be able to explain, discuss, and things like that. And they have to be energetic. Or if he's very good looking but lazy. You know? Like that. So it means, yeah, it has to have that proper combination.
Those are the guys they cut jokes on the most. Those are the guys they cut the jokes on the most.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's always the... looks really good, but, you know, nothing's there. Yeah. Signs of love. The glance in which the eyes are sportive, tearful, half-closed, upper eyelid is drooping, and eyelashes are throbbing is called kamya, literally loving. And it should be used here. The glance in which eyes are expanded up to the corner and have sportive and smiling expressions is called lalita. It is used in women's partial looks. The color of the face when one's cheeks become slightly red and the face dotted with sweat drops and hairs on the body stand on end relates to love. A courtesan overpowered with the comma? Probably it should be on the other side of love. Should be represented by making her express the feelings by casting sidelong glances, touching the ornaments, itching the ears, scratching the ground with her toes, showing the breasts and the navel, cleansing the nails and gathering her hairs. Okay. Similarly, one should know that there are indications of love in a woman of high family. These are as follows. She looks continuously with blooming eyes, conceals her smile, speaks slowly and with a downcast face, gives reply with a smile, conceals her sweat and appearance, has throbbing lips and is trembling. These are the various signs of love with which a woman not yet having an experience of the pleasure of intercourse will express differently her love, which has 10 stages. So then, you see that there's a difference here of difference then in the aspect of, notice that the one is all about the eyes, the smile, you know, various aspects like that. And that's all the further it is.
Yes.
It's all basically contained within the face and movement of the hands and might have a little bit more to it and stance and all that.
Yes.
But you see with the courtesan, then it takes on all kinds of external forms and especially the showing of the breast, the navel,
yes.
This, that. So then that also you can tell what quality you're dealing with.
Yes.
You know. So then one may complain, no, you shouldn't dress like that or that. As a courtesan, it's not a problem.
Yes.
You know. Like that. But as a woman who would be, you know, cultured or like that, you know, what did he say? High family, then that wouldn't be there.
Yes.
Is that something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. A few months ago, you know, in France, for the, like, starting at the school, you know. So many young ladies, they wanted to be dressed as they like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, showing at least the navel like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a big thing, and it was.
Oh, you mean in the schools?
In the school, yes. And some like people of the school, the directors, they don't want
mm-hmm.
some of them, you know. So it was a big thing, and some ministers, some women said, "Ladies can dress as they like in school," you know.
So then, can the boys dress as they like? You know, funky flip-flops, funky this, that, you know, the muscle shirts and all that. And then that they should just say anybody can dress however they like.
And the boys come competition in the hairstyle with the ladies.
Yeah, yeah. Then the boys are cutting the profile with the boys and the girls are what's going on here.
Yes.
I remember we were at some place for a program. It was a youth program, devotee, you know, youth program. And and all the guys, they had all these, you know, very, you know, cool little beards and other things and their hair and how they were doing and all that. You get so many complaints from the girls that, you know, can't they just behave normal, you know? And so then, you know, talked to the boys, got them all to shave their funky little beards and all that. And then after that, everything went smoothly. So that's the whole thing, is that, you know, they're thinking, why are people uncomfortable with this? But then you're not comfortable with the boys do whatever they like. So, you know, it's that therefore everybody restricts themselves. That's all. That's culture.
Especially with the hair, Maharaj. If in our families, if some boy has a big hair and it grows very nicely, all the girls of the family, they're always, like, jealous of that. I remember in my childhood, I used to have thick hair.
Mm-hmm.
So
they
my sister
always... How come they don't have thick hair? Like
because
that?
They always have to, like, no, comb that, and then naturally it will keep going off. But if you have thick hair, even if some hair goes, still it looks very
yeah, yeah.
So my sister always used to tell, why you got thick hair?
Yeah, yeah.
I should have.
Yeah, yeah.
So it will be a big problem.
Yes, a big problem. Various stages of love. First, there will be longing, abhila. Secondly, anxiety, chinta. Thirdly, recollection, anusmiti. Fourthly, enumeration of the beloved one's merits, guna kirtana. Fifthly, distress, udvega. Sixthly, lamentation, vilapa. Seventh, insanity, unmada. Eighth, sickness, vyadi. Ninth, stupor, jarata. And tenth, death, marana. These are the stages of love in cases of men as well as of women. Now listen about the characteristics of these. You see, you know, it has the thing longing, anxiety, and that, and then going into the, you know, the positive, and go back to the negative, and then it just falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're showing that what stage it is by which you're doing, then you know how much the person, you know, has that affection and all that. You know, if the guy's, you know, completely, you know, in a stupor or sick like this, or, you know, always fainting and everything like that, then you know he's at these last stages. And so his friends know they have to do something, otherwise there's going to be a problem here. It's just like, what was this? Bhishma. Because his father wasn't just sitting around and like that. He would start these later symptoms so he could understand, no, he's really having a problem here. So, you know, you don't want to end up with no king. So, therefore, then he made the arrangement. So if you present these, even if people don't know, you get the idea. Because these are the way it works. You can say, oh, no, it doesn't work like that. No, of course it does. Just like we were saying, oh, the modern women are different. No, they're not. They're just like the courtesans. That's all. It's all the same. That you can't, it's not different. It's not because you took your poodle and gave it one of those fancy haircuts, now it's a different dog. It's the same thing. You know? No?
It's nice to read or to hear about that. This makes the thing in a different perspective when it is a material love.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's finishing by death, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not uncommon. I mean, how did Romeo and Juliet end?
Yes.
So?
Well, movie industry is running on this.
Yeah, of course, you know. Have to. Like that. Otherwise, you know, how do you go and burn down all the docks in Bombay unless, you know, the girls die, you know? Otherwise, there'd be no reason. 239-228. Acts prohibited on stage. In representing various activities of women, there should be on the stage no ascending of the bedstead. Right? So they don't get into bed. No bath. Right? You know, so then that right there, that cuts out all, what do you call it?
Advertisement.
No. Yeah, all the advertisement. But all the, what do you call it? Thriller horror movies, you know?
Yeah.
Right there, that's all gone. No use of unguents and carilium. Means they can't be putting them on. No decoration of the body, putting on the ornaments. And no doing of the hair. These just aren't done on stage. They can come on already dressed. I mean, they could be previously in one and they come on, but you don't see it on stage. And women of the superior and middling type should not be shown as very scantily draped, apavrita, or wearing only one piece of garment, eka vastra, and they should use no color for their lips, right? Like that. So they just put something that give the natural color. And there's something they use, but they don't put that bright. When you got that bright colors, you know, like that, that's not of the higher or middling types. Right? Yeah, so not very scantily. So they're always very nicely dressed and everything like that. So that's the thing. So if they are, it doesn't mean that there won't be scantily dressed women. Just they're not the superior middling types. That's all. So it's not that in the Vedic you didn't have these things. It's just that that we're talking about as someone who's serious, you know, married, trying to be God conscious and all that, they wouldn't dress in that way, you know. But it doesn't mean that prostitutes can't become Krishna conscious. You know, we have in the 11th canto Pingala, like that. So it's that, but it's just then socially you'll function in that position. Does that make sense? Yeah. The prohibited mode of dress will suit only the women of the inferior type, right? So, so the mode of dress in that, very scantily wearing only one piece, or using bright lipstick, because of their low nature. But they too are not to be representative doing what is improper. All right. So even though they may be dressed like that, they will never do these things like getting into a bed, bathing, putting on unguents and that, decorating the body or doing the hair. So still, it's a, you just know that they're of the inferior type here. You know, because your superior means, generally speaking, in dramas, it's always going to be about kings and Brahmins, and because you're trying to develop the good qualities. And so how they deal in all this. And so there's going to be, the society has this wide range. And so others may be there. But it's not that they will do anything improper either.
For me, Maharaj, actually, when when you saw, you know, a prostitute with a shudra dressing outside, the mind changed. You know?
Yes, that's the whole point.
Yes.
Is that if there's an opportunity for sense gratification, that's the whole point. Because when these things are happening, they're either for or the girl's in a neutral state in which she's not projecting, you know, it means if you're someone's watching, they deal. But if they're not, they're open. Then that means then the mind goes, oh, I can take advantage of this.
Yes.
You know, even if they're not doing any, it means even if one doesn't do something, there's still the idea of that this could be a joy. And so then you're going to create, you're going to lower the consciousness. So that's why these things aren't done.
Yes.
Yeah. One knowing the dramatic convention, Natya Dharma, should not represent sleeping on the stage, but if such is necessary on some pretended need, one should bring the act to a close. If out of any necessity one sleeps alone or with anyone, no kiss or embrace or any other private act, such as biting, scratching with nails, loosening the nevi, the pressing of the breasts and lips, should be presented on the stage. Taking food or sporting in water or doing any immodest act should not be represented on the stage. Right, so you see here, even eating, you know, eating, sleeping, all these things are not to be represented on the stage. So you see, but, you know, because of the people, you know, the desires, then you'll see, you know, the lower class women and sensual activities. But you generally never see presented in any stage or you know, film or anything, generally serious eating or going to the toilet or anything like that.
Yes.
You know, clipping of the nails, you know, anything, just, no, you just don't do any of that.
Yes.
You know, and even in this, they don't, yeah. So, you know, so it's just inherently not there, but because there's no lust considering the, you know, the food or this or that, therefore you don't worry about it. They might get food, but you never really see them eat it. They just talk, and then somehow or another they're not there anymore. You know?
But sometimes in the West, like in France, there are some movie or drama, you know, where we see people eating.
Yeah, but that, you know, but it'll be to bring out the sensual aspect. It won't just be that they're just, you know, it's in between lunch at work and they're going out and eating. It'll be some kind of a dinner or romantic thing or some kind of something that will give rise to emotions. And so it's all about the emotions. So these things will bring out emotions, so then they'll use them. Yes.
Also, in Vedic culture, it's called considered improper that if there are so many people and you sit and eat yourself.
Yeah, you wouldn't eat in front of others, so why would you do it on the stage? Because it's going to be the same problem. Because if you do eat on the stage, all those people, because they're sitting there for hours, they'll be envious, you know? And so you'll get sick, you know? So. As a nataka is to be witnessed by the father and the son, the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law all sitting together, these acts should be carefully avoided, because all of them will be there. One is that when they see it on their own, that's one. But the other thing is you're going to have them together, father and son together. And you know, father, what's going on here? You know, then he has to explain that. And how can he enjoy the drama? With words which are very pleasant to hear and have not very harsh sounds and are sweet and not very cruel, the experts should write natakas which contain good counsels. So they're pleasant, they're not harsh sounds and all that, and so then that's and giving good counsel. That's the whole idea. That's what should be represented. This should be the practice in connection with kingly etiquette in relation to the harem. The etiquette in relation to the outsiders will be treated in rules regarding courtesans, vaishika. Right? So in the harem, that would be the married, you know, the wives of the king or their maidservants. You know, like that. Then these kind of things would be there, but it's all in looks and this and that and talks, and so you don't see anything. But now we're talking about, next will be courtesans, you know, how they'll deal with that. Chapter 25, dealing of an expert gallant with courtesans. Because in here, the kings, it's not a matter of a gallant. It's a matter of, you know, is proper and everything like that. Gallants, they just try their luck, you know. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having discussed the first type of etiquette in dealings of love affairs between men and women, which dealt with the dealings of kings with his wives and other high-born ladies. Right, so that would mean either the maidens, you know, the maidens who are assistants to the queens and all that, their maidservants, or to the celestial, you know, courtesans, you know, the apsaras. The current chapter elaborates on the second type, which involves dealing of an expert gallant with the courtesans. Yes?
Maharaj, in this context, we see in Mahabharata and other scriptures that the king marries a lady, a girl.
Yeah.
And then she has like an entourage.
Yes.
You know, number of young ladies.
Yes.
And then we don't hear any details of him interacting with those ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But still, after a while, we hear that they have children from the king.
Mm-hmm.
So what is his relationship with those ladies?
Mm. It said, the friend of the friend is also your friend. Mm-hmm. That makes sense? Doesn't make sense?
No.
You caught it? You? Means the king is connected with the queen.
Yeah.
And you're, as a maidservant, are the friend of the queen. You're a Saki.
Right.
So that means the friend of the Saki is also your friend. Still doesn't make sense?
It makes sense. So it's like, it's not wrong to do that.
No. They're connected with that. They're a part with the queen. So especially the closer ones and all that. Then you know, like that. You know, yeah.
So the queen doesn't mind, basically.
Means there'll be some etiquette about it. Means in front of the queen, nothing's going on. You know. But you know, it's. But how you say? Unless one has that kind of character and training and everything and control, how does he deal with all that? You know, it's like we said, let us say, you know, they say, oh, you know, yeah, the king has, you know, eight wives, right? So he can only have eight that are considered queens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he has more wives than that, they're, you know, even though they may be princesses and they're kshatriyas and they'll be given all royal facility, they're not in the position of the queen.
Yeah, right.
So, those eight queens, their children will be then fit for the throne. The other ones won't. That means they'll be part of the government and that, and they'll have nice positions and all that, but they won't be the prince. You know, otherwise, where does it end? You know what I'm saying? And so, now, those eight queens, then they're going to be, after he finishes court and he comes into the inside of the palace, then they'll all be there. And then sitting with all of them, he, you know, because each one wants to interact. He has to be able to say something unique about each one of them that the other ones will go, yeah, that's her quality, and they won't be envious of. Right? So unless you're really qualified, there's like a snowball's chance in hell you can do that. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, those kings that have like that, that's very, you know, I mean, what's his name? Dasarat had three. And you see what trouble came out from that.
Well, Ramayana mentions that the three, as you explained, are the main.
Yeah.
But 333, that was the number that he had.
Active. Yes. So there's another. So, but that just with those three, there's so much problem. Yes. You know, means that, you know, he ended up dying. You know, because he gave three boons to his wife, and a Kshatriya woman should never get more than two. So he broke the rules there, because the third one's always going to be the impossible. The first one will be something they really want. Next one will be something more they want. The third one will be impossible. So that's why I said, you know, Draupadi, she took two boons, and she said, a Kshatriya woman doesn't take more than two. Because her next one would be, she wants everything back, and she wants Duryodhana and everybody else sent to the forest, along with Dhritarashtra. You know, so don't ask for a third boon. You know, it's first, let my husbands be free, you know, like that, you know, or in that, or something like that. Or no, I think it was first that the children were free. So they wouldn't be known as sons of slaves. Then next is the husbands with their weapons. She didn't ask for the kingdom. Because the next one, then it's like, it's everything. So therefore, he just gave, because that's naturally the next thing. Because giving that, then that's okay within what he can handle. Because giving what she wants is like, you know, yeah. So you see, yeah. It's a big thing. So it can't be taken lightly. Because otherwise people think, oh yeah, I can do that. No, they can't. So that's why then, if it's for spiritual, you stick to one. Yes?
Also that part of having her own entourage has like other purposes. Like first thing is, she may not want to interact with the king, like, you know, or she may not be in a position to interact with the king. When it is like, you know, always, like when the king comes, or, and another thing is, she can discuss all those details
with them, and it's still inside.
They also have the
it's
same
also thing. It's also inside.
Yeah.
So it'll be less than the sakis. Like you see, the nitya sakis, you could discuss anything, but you'd limit to what you talk about. But with the Sakis, sometimes you may or may not discuss, because then they're rivals also.
Yes.
See, the queens are rivals, the maidservants aren't. And so if the queens please, then they may also be interacting. But it's not that they on their own are making any endeavors. That the queens will be doing. The rivals will be doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's a different flavor. So here we're saying, you know, about the queens, the maidservants, and the celestial courtesans. So then that all fits nicely into the categories there. And outside that, then we get into the regular dudes. Okay, I have to go for something, so we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.